Thank you, Bill, and good morning to each one. It's a beautiful morning the Lord has given to us. Just last night, you looked out the window around midnight. It was not a very nice night, was it? And it was dark out. Well, look at this morning. Sun is shining. It's a beautiful Easter morning. And what we were talking about this morning, and Brother Bill mentioned it, and Leonard mentioned it Wednesday night, about the darkness. The darkness came first and then the morning. And we're in the morning because the Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Do you know what? That's a tremendously integral part of the gospel that so often we leave out. We preach and we emphasize the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know something? What would happen if he hadn't raised from the dead? What's it say in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25? He was delivered for our offenses, or he was delivered because of our offenses, and he was raised again for our justifications. We would not be justified unless he was raised from the dead. So this is that morning. Then came the morning. I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I didn't tell Bill what I might have looked at this morning, chapter 15, and he read a few of the verses that I was going to read. Thank you, Bill. And I enjoyed what he had to say this morning in breaking of bread. And we have liberty and we have peace this morning because we're saved and we can stand on the Word of God. We can have peace within because we know that he is a risen Savior. And we heard this morning another brother sharing about this world and how people have gods. G-O-D-S, small g. But there's only one God, one true God. Who died, was buried, and rose again. And you and I, if we're saved this morning, that is the God that we worship and we praise. That is the one that's going to take us home to heaven. That is the one who was alive this morning. Friday afternoon, we were down in the Montague, and we heard about his death. We heard Gerald speaking about he went right back to Gethsemane. He was talking about a place. First of all, we see Gethsemane, we see it was a place of sorrow and submission. He became very sorrowful, and yet he was very submissive. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And then he took us to Gabbatha. Gabbatha was a place of scorn and spitting. That's where they put him on trial, as it were. They put a purple robe on him. They spit on him. They whipped his back. Then he took us to Golgotha, a place of suffering, a place of sacrifice, a place of shame. And then he took us to John chapter 19, a garden in the place where he was crucified, a place of silence. For 3 days, as it says, even as Jonas was 3 days in the belly of the fish, 3 days was the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart of the earth. Silence. There was a tremendous silence over the whole earth because there he was, Jesus of Nazareth, crucified and now in a tomb. And then he took us to a place in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. We go back to the garden tomb, but now that's where we are this morning. We look at the tomb, and the stone was rolled away. And we can go to all the Gospels. We can go to Matthew chapter 28. We can go to Mark's Gospel chapter 16, Luke's Gospel chapter 24, John chapter 20, and we see there the tremendous events that happened on the day of his resurrection. He was alive. But there was an awful lot of confusion, even amongst his people. And even this morning, we're sitting here as Christians, a lot of us, and we are confused about a lot of things. On Wednesday night, we talk about creation. How many of us know a lot about his creation? How many of us have been bombarded by the things of this world and the wisdom of man, and we come up, things pop up in our minds of doubts. Well, was evolution maybe a little bit right? We have doubts sometimes, don't we? We are confused. We try to rationalize. We try to reason. And we try to get a hold of God. And we try to understand things like God does. Well, what does it say in Isaiah 55? My ways are not your ways, God says. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above yours. We cannot think like God. We cannot understand a lot of things. We cannot comprehend. But God wants us to believe it. Not all men have faith. And God wants us to believe what he says. This book, he wants us to believe it. God said it. That settles it. I believe it. God wants to instill that into you. And it's so nice to see so many young people here this morning. So nice to see middle-aged, older people, and a whole bunch of little kids. I was talking to Sterling earlier, and he said tremendous balance in this assembly, and there is. And I pray that the Lord will continue this assembly. Tremendous a group of young people. And what a beautiful thing to see that they have interest in the things of God. And I pray the Lord instills in you, young fellows and young ladies, instills in you. You'll have a tremendous faith that nothing can knock you down, because you're going to be bombarded in university and college, all in this world. People are going to try, and Satan will try to stumble you. Be vigilant. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion. Don't ever forget that. That is Christians. And he will try to destroy you. He'll try to make you like Lot, destroy your testimony and put you on a shelf that you're no use to God. That's why we heard a verse mentioned way back in on Wednesday night. Harry mentioned it. We heard it twice down at the conference, and it is this. One of the things that is impossible in the Bible. First one is in Hebrews. It says, God, it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. Cannot lie. Second thing that's impossible, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Remember that. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is what? He is everything that he says he is. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is sovereign. He is holy. He is righteous. God is everything he says he is. Without faith, it is impossible to believe him. What is he talking about, that faith? Faith in another God, as we heard this morning? Faith in your faith, because there's people today say, I have a tremendous faith. You talk to them about the Lord Jesus. Well, what is your faith in? Faith in my faith. I have faith in my church. A lot of people will say that. I have faith in my religion. I have faith in my good works. It is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, what are you talking about in that whole chapter? A great group of people from the Old Testament who have faith in what? Their church? Faith in their God. We think of Abraham. He believed God and was accounted unto him for righteousness. God asked him to leave the Chaldees and go into a place that he didn't even tell him where he was going. God gave him a son after 14 years of promising he would. And then he took that son and he said, you take him and go and sacrifice him. And what did Abraham do? He never questioned the Lord. He went to Mount Moriah because he believed God could raise that son up. What about Sarah, Abraham's wife? What about Moses after 40 years in Egypt? Could have had the world by the tail. It said he chose. And God asks you and I, he asks us to believe. He doesn't ask us to behave. He asks us to believe. Take to heart. Take to the bank the word of God. And don't ever falter. And if we're going to read in Luke's gospel, we're going to read a bit in chapter 24. And we see the Christians, even after his disciples, after he was raised from the dead, they were perplexed. You say, how's that? John chapter 20, we think of Mary. Mary, she saw the stone rolled away. And then she saw this person behind her, and what she thought he was a gardener, until he called her name, Mary. We think of these two people on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. It says, and Jesus himself came near, and he went with them. Who did they think he was? They thought he was a stranger of Galilee, and he sure was, wasn't he? No one knew him. We talked this morning about Thomas. Thomas wouldn't believe, would he? He was perplexed. He had to have proof. He had to see those hands and that side. And we talk about another group of people. They thought he was a spirit. Remember, he came into their midst in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. He said, give me some food and I'll prove it to you. And I wonder how many people today here who are Christians. And sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we doubt his creation. Sometimes we doubt his incarnation, being born of a virgin. Because the world will say, not possible. What about his crucifixion? Some people say he was just a man. And what about his resurrection? The Sadducees did not believe there was any resurrection. Sadducees didn't. And others did not believe. And you can go through the Word of God and speaks about the resurrection. Let us read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and see the importance of his resurrection. It is part and parcel of the gospel. We cannot have the gospel. It's not a full gospel unless it's his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. He is a living Savior. That is what gives us the right to be saved, because he's alive. Because he lives, we can live also. We heard that this morning. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Chapter 15, Paul speaking, he says this: Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. God asks us to believe that. And then he says this: For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, and so on. And verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, or Peter, then of the 12. And after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, and whom the greater part remain of this present, from but some are falling asleep. We heard the other day that he did not appear unto those who were not saved. He appeared only to his disciples. Those who crucified him, the last time they saw him was on the cross. They crucified him. Our brother heard, talked about this morning, that we saw that tomb and we see the powers around the tomb. If you read in the Gospels, it says there was a sepulcher. The tomb was hewn out of stone. Those of us who were to Israel, we saw a place called Gordon's Calvary. It was a huge rock, and it was carved out in the middle of it, a tomb, an open cavern inside where there was a tomb, chiseled out. There was the sepulcher. And then, of course, we know that Joseph of Arimathea and probably Nicodemus, they rolled a huge stone on the doorway. And then we read in the Gospels, in Matthew's Gospel, we see that the civil power was, they put a seal on that stone, a seal that was not to be broken. And then it said, and you will have a watch. We heard that, read that this morning. That is soldiers outside to watch the tomb. And then we heard this morning about Satan and all his cohorts who were there, who thought they had their prey in a tomb, in a stone tomb. The power of evil that was at the place called Calvary. They thought they had this person in the tomb and he could never get out. There was a sepulcher made of stone, solid stone. There was a huge stone that Mary and them were worried about who was going to move it, that was closed the doorway. There was a seal on that stone. There was soldiers around that tomb. And Satan. Five S words. Sepulcher, stone, seal, soldiers, and Satan and all his cohorts. And they thought they had the King of Kings all wrapped up and he could never get out of there. That's the power that was outside the tomb. Now think about the power that was inside the tomb. We heard this morning, up from the grave he rose. Mary came first early in the morning. And what did she see? If you go up to Mark's Gospel, we see that the stone was rolled away and someone was sitting on the stone. Who was it? The angel of the Lord. We talked about it this morning, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and it says, and they sat down. After, remember the mankind, after he had crucified the Lord, it says they sat down and watched him there. And we see a picture in the Bible, we think about someone sitting, that means the work is finished. They thought that they had finished the work. They had put this person in the tomb and he was there to stay. And we see an angel on the first day of the week. We see the stone rolled away. We see the angel sitting on the stone. And up from the grave arose the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's alive today. And I ask you, do you really believe that? Do you really, in the heart of your hearts, believe that Jesus Christ is alive? He is the only God. He saved you. I know whom I have believed. Can you say that from your heart? And I am persuaded that he's able to keep me against that day. Can you say that in your heart? That's what God wants. And we're going to look at this morning and show us the importance of the Scriptures and being in the presence of God, how it will take away the perplexed heart, the sad heart, and He'll give you a burning heart and a believing heart by the Word of God and by being in His presence. Turn, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. A big chapter. We're going to read parts of it. Many of us have heard it before. Now, upon the first day of the week, chapter 24 and verse 1, very early in the morning they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices, that is, the women, which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, perplexed hearts, totally confused, mixed up. What is going on? Because you could say this, then came the morning. And in this part of the chapter, we're going to see, then there was the messenger, the angel of the Lord. Then we're going to see the mystery of that tomb. We're going to see the miracle of that tomb. You see the message that the angel told them to go and tell the others. Then you're going to see the master. The master makes himself available. He comes to them. And if you read the whole story, you're going to see the mountain time, that great commission that the Lord, after He had dealt with all His Christians, how He proved Himself to them. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel in Mark's gospel. And in Matthew's gospel, He said, go into all the nations and teach and make, making disciples, molding disciples, and maturing disciples. That was the great commission. That's what we are to do today. We're to preach the repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then teaching. So making disciples, molding disciples, and maturing disciples, that is all the work of the assembly after we are saved. So we see here as we read on in verse 3, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? That's what the angel said to them. Here He is not here, but is risen. But remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. Now they remembered His words. How many times, as He walked down here with His disciples, did He not tell them He was going to be crucified, buried, and the third day rise again? How many times did He tell them that, and they just didn't get it? How many times have we heard the gospel? How many times we've heard teaching in the Word of God, but we just don't get it? Or we're not listening? That's why the Lord said so many times in the Word of God, he that hath ears, let him hear. Don't let it go right through. Hopefully there's a filter there that'll slow it down, and we'll get it and say, oh, my word. And that's why the importance of reading God's Word. Not just to read on it, but to meditate on it, to think about it, and get into His presence, be an intimate, be someone who loves to be in His presence. So we saw in those verses, we saw first of all the mystery. We saw the messenger first, two angels standing right there. We saw the mystery, the open door. They went into the tomb and there was no one there. The miracle, He had been raised from the dead. The message in the other gospel says, go and tell your disciples that the Lord said, I will meet them in Galilee. The message. And look what it says in verse 9, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And listen to verse 11. Remember I said perplexed hearts? Look what it says. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. How many things today are preached and from the Word of God, and we say, you know what? I don't know if I believe that or not. We're not talking about unsaved here. We're talking about disciples. We're talking about people that a lot of them had spent time with the Lord. And as you go right down through this chapter, you'll see it over and over again. They believe not. We think about Thomas. He didn't believe, did he? Until he seen it. Proof. Proof in the pudding. And the Lord says, thank God for those who do not see but believe. And that's what God asks us. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith in God, in his Christ, it is impossible to please him. That's what God wants from you and I. He wants us to believe. The word believe, same root word as trust. It means the same thing as faith. Faith, believe, trust, all the same words. God wants us to trust him. He wants us to believe him. He wants us to have faith in him. He wants us to believe and trust in his word. Every bit of it. And that's the importance of being in his word. And of course, we know the story about Peter and John. They both ran after they heard this story. And that's in John's gospel, I believe. They ran and they saw the linen clothes. And they were wrapped the same way as they were around them, but no body inside. And it says, John went in and he saw and he believed. Do you believe Christ rose from the dead? Do you believe he died for you? Have you had an encounter with him? Because that's what these people did. A personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's what it takes to be saved. Have to have a personal encounter with him. And we go down the story. Let's go reading in at verse 13 because I want to spend a little bit of time on this part of that section. This is the two people on the road to Emmaus. Look at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about 7-8 miles or 11-12 kilometers. You know what I mean. And they talked. I just lost it there for a minute. Kilometers. Thank you, John. That's what happens when you get my age. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Remember what I said about reasoning? How often when we hear the word of God, we start reasoning, rationalizing. How can that be? We think of Nicodemus. The Lord told him spiritual things. He said, how can that be? How can I be born again? That doesn't make sense. And you know what? Talk about creation. A lot of things we know, it doesn't make sense. His virgin birth doesn't make sense. His crucifixion, a lot of things just don't make sense. His resurrection, a lot of things just don't make sense. And I believe amongst a lot of Christians there is doubts and a lot of unanswered questions, and a lot of times we don't go to the Word of God and find them out. Because the rest of that verse, without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's an important part too. How many of us are seeking the Word of God? How many of us are seeking the answers? How many of us seek Him every day? And if you're here this morning, you're not saved, and you seek Him, He will save you. You will find Him. We go to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. This verse is for Christians. We use it. I use it as a gospel text. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. That is to Christians. He was speaking to seven churches in Revelation. Are there Christians today that have Christ on the outside? Yes, they're saved, but they do not let them in. They do not want to spend time with them. They don't want to communicate, have fellowship with them. Yeah, I'm saved, but that's it. We're going to see here in this little portion these Christians after the Lord opened the scriptures, how they opened their home and he opened their eyes. Should be a lesson to you and I. Verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And look at verse 16. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Their eyes, they did not, spiritually, they did not understand, didn't know who he was. How many Christians are like that? What did Paul say? That I may know him. That was Paul the apostle. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another, and you walk and are so sad? These are people with burdened hearts. We're going to see that as they spend time in the scripture, how they had burning hearts. And then they spent time in his presence and they had believing hearts. And that's what God will do to you and I as we get into his word and in his presence, because that is the rest of this part of the story right in these verses. That's what happened. He says to them, "Why are you so sad?" And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem?" They thought him only as a stranger. "And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had only seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." Then he said unto them, look at his response again. He just had spent some time with them. He was walking with them, and he said this. He talked about them having a sad heart. Look what he says in verse 25, and he said unto them, "O fools, O fools and slow of heart." You're not catching the drift. Slow of heart. Slow of hearts to believe. That's what he said, to believe. You're just not getting it. It's going right over your head. I'm with you. I'm here. I'm Christ. I'm risen. And then he said like this, "O slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then it says, and all the prophets in the Old Testament. He said, you guys have this in front of you. He expounded on them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. And somewhat, you know what, people are probably sitting here today. Say, well, I read the Old Testament. I don't see anything about the Lord Jesus. Do you know in every book of the Bible, Christ is there? What about Genesis? What about the seed of the woman? What about Exodus? Passover lamb. What about Leviticus? What about the offerings? Christ is in every one of them. Deuteronomy and so on. What about Ruth, kinsman redeemer? Right on through the whole Bible, you can go through them. Every single book of the Bible. What about the New Testament? Matthew, where he's the king. Mark, the perfect servant. Luke, perfect son of man. John, perfect son of God. Every single book of the Bible, Jesus Christ is there, and he expounds unto them every book from the book of Moses to the prophets, and we're going to see later in this chapter, even in the Psalms, Christ is in every one of them. Remember what he said about seeking him diligently? Get into your Bible and start looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what he'll do to you? He'll make your hearts burn, and you make your hearts believing. How do we know that? Well, let's just read on. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things that will enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded all them, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto his village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Listen to this next verse. The Lord Jesus Christ and God will not make you do anything you don't want to do. Remember we just said, behold, I stand at the door and knock? Look at verse 29. But they constrained him. What does that mean? They basically pulled him in, or they basically wanted him, they urged him strongly to come on in. To where? Into their home. It's also a picture of your heart and my heart. They said, you know what? You're knocking at our heart's door. Come on in. You're welcome. I want to sup with you and you with me. And because they did that, you're going to see what happened. And they drew near unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. He was just going to keep going if they hadn't constrained him. And he will do the same thing with you. If you don't want him in your life, if you don't want him in your home, he'll keep going to someone else. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. He that abideth with me and I in him bringeth forth what? Much fruit. for without me you can do nothing. Isn't that what it says in John chapter 15? Look up the word abide. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at food with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. What did it say up in verse 16? And their eyes were holden that they did not know him. Look what it says in verse 31. And their eyes were opened. They constrained him, invited him in. He came in, and he broke bread with them. And you know what? He broke bread. And first of all, he blessed it, and I bet you he put his hands up like this, didn't he? And then he took his hands, and he used those hands, and he broke bread, and then he passed it to them. And why were their eyes opened? Look what it says. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Why did they know him? What did they see in his hands? Marks of Calvary. Did they not? He passed them the bread. He broke bread. And it says, and they knew him. He was in their presence. He was invited in. And when we spend time in his presence, he will reveal himself to us. You know what? Look at verse 35. Jump down a couple of verses. They were telling these same things unto the other people. They were going to tell this whole story. Look at verse 35. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. I don't believe it was a breaking bread like we had this morning. It was just fellowship. It was a time of communion, of communicating, fellowship. And he showed them his hands. Why? Because, first of all, remember, he warmed up their hearts. He opened the scriptures in verse 27. He opened the scriptures. Then in verse 29, they opened their home. And then what happened? He opened their eyes. And they knew who he was. Remember, up to that point, their eyes were holden. They didn't know who he was. He was just a stranger. So what am I saying? I'm saying the word of God, the scriptures were opened. They opened their hearts or opened their home. And he opened their eyes. They spent time in the scriptures. They spent time in his presence. He opened their eyes. And they knew who he was. And guess what will happen to you and I? We spend time in the scriptures. We spend time in his presence. He will open our eyes and we will know who he is. That's what God wants. He wants us to have faith because I know whom I have believed. Paul said, and I'm persuaded. And yet he would say that I may know him. Power of his resurrection, his death and so on. That's what Paul's desire was, and that's what ours should be too. We're going to run out of time. We're not going to get into this next group, but we just go quickly into part of it. Look at verse 36. And as they thus spake, I just want to go back to verse 32 just to confirm what I said about the scriptures. Look at verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? That is, as he was walking with them, their hearts were burning. They were warmed up. And while he opened to us the scriptures. So he opened the scriptures and it gave them a warm heart. They invited them in and he opened their eyes. So they had burdened hearts as he was walking firstly with them. They were sad. They now had burning hearts as he opened the scriptures. And now they had believing hearts because they saw who he was. They believed who he was. And now they were running to the other group of people to tell them that they had saw the risen Savior. That's what he wanted them to do. And quickly, we're just going to say a few words. We're not going to finish this. Verse 36, and as they thus spake Jesus himself, they went to tell the other people. And here's the group that they went to tell. They rose up the same, verse 33, the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Another group of disciples with the 11. And of course, those two there. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Hear the Lord again, Jesus himself. And imagine, these people were all excited to come into this group of people who were downhearted. They had troubled hearts. If we read down a few verses, their hearts were troubled. They didn't know where their Savior was. They were downcast. They had long faces. These people came and told them that they saw the Lord. He was raised from the dead. And all of a sudden, just like that, the Lord was in their midst. Would that scare the life out of you? It would out of me. Doors are closed and everything else, and all of a sudden, there was the Lord. And what did they think he was? They thought he was a spirit. He says, does a spirit have flesh and bone? Remember, he didn't say anything about the blood. And that's another whole story. But he said, you give me a piece of boiled fish and honeycomb. And he said, I'll show you that I'm real. This is me. I'm not a spirit. This is Christ. I'm risen from the dead. And you know what? Go down to verse 44. What did he do to warm up their hearts? And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses. There it is again. And the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. He says, you know what? It's all there in the Word of God. The Old Testament, he says, every book of the Bible, it points to me. I'm there. And he says, here I am, right in your midst. So we must close, but you know what? Jesus himself will take away your perplexed hearts, your doubts, your troubles. He will take away a discouraged heart, a burdened heart. He'll make it a burning heart. He'll make it a believing heart. He'll take away the troubled heart. And look what it says in the last two verses of this verse. Heavens was opened. He was departed. Look at verse 52 and verse 53 of this chapter. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Now this was the same group. He started walking with a group of them. They were sad, burdened hearts. He got them all warmed up and they went to another group. They had troubled hearts. He opened the scriptures. He proved himself to them. He showed them that he was real. It was him. And so these scriptures to you and I are something that we can bank our lives on. These are people who went before us, disciples, and they are saying to you and I, do you know what? It is real. He is real. God is real. His Son is real. He died for you. He was buried, and the third day he rose again. And this morning, the first day of the week, as it were, he is alive and he's in your midst, and he wants to be in your midst. He wants you to draw nigh to him. He wants you to read and get to know him. He wants you to believe in him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do you believe in God this morning? You believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus, because that's why he came to this earth. He came to die for you and for me. It took me 31 years. I was just like these people, perplexed, stupid, troubled, everything you could possibly think about. But one day the Lord got a hold of me, and he saved me. And he'll do the same for you. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee so much for loving us. We thank thee, Father, for the resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, that it was God's amen to those words, it is finished. God was truly satisfied with his Son's work on Calvary's cross. And all the question, Father, needs to be asked, are you satisfied? Am I satisfied with what he has done? And when he shall see of the travail of his soul, he shall be satisfied. By his righteous servant shall he justify many, that those that would know him, learn of him, by his knowledge, by knowing him, they will be justified. Father, we thank thee for your word. We thank thee, Father, for the tremendous guarantee. Father, the seal as it has been stamped, if you will, that God said it, that settles it, and he wants me to believe it. Father, we ask that you would bless each individual, each home here today. Father, may we be excited. May we be like those who would go around telling others of the great things that have happened. That Jesus Christ is alive. He's willing to save. He's coming back soon. And Father, thank the Lord that those of us who are saved will be with him for all eternity, because he paid eternity's debt of sins for me and for each one of us. We thank thee that he is alive. He's risen. He's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Father, we ask that you would part us with thy blessings and bless, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.